It's time for another episode of the Infinite Loopback Podcast, an Apple-themed technology podcast with your hosts, Brian Baggett, Jim Graham, Brad Tarver, and Jason Young. Welcome back, gentlemen. It's been a while. Everyone full of turkey and fun and ready to go back to work tomorrow?
All except the last one. I'm not ready to go back to work tomorrow, but otherwise it's been just a really great week off. I took the whole last week off for vacation, which I haven't really taken a whole week off. Well, I guess I took off the 4th of July week and went to D.C., but I haven't taken any other vacation this year. So it's been a real relaxing week. I slept in every morning, just kind of took it real easy in Mississippi with my folks, and it's been really nice.
Yeah, we had a nice get-together here as well. I'm an only child, so my parents came up to visit and didn't have any siblings, and most of my wife's family was off doing other stuff. So we had kind of a nice, bountiful, yet quiet Thanksgiving with just the four of us. You know, food was great. Football games were pretty terrible. But other than that, we had a good time.
Hotty toddy.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't on Thanksgiving, but yes. Congratulations to you guys.
Wait, that was on Thanksgiving. That was Thanksgiving night.
Yeah, that was Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay.
It's that horrible game that nobody wants to remember Thanksgiving night except those of us who were for the winning team, because it was a really bad game. But I didn't disagree with you there at all. I like the winner, but the game was awful.
We kind of had a snafu with the barbecue that I'd put on the smoker, and it took considerably longer than we expected. So the night before, we ended up having to get up at like 2 a.m. on Thanksgiving morning to pull the barbecue off the smoker. And then, still had to wait up like an hour for it to cool and so we could pull it. So, we vacuumed the house and cleaned the kitchen and all this at 2 a.m. So we didn't get a Thanksgiving nap that afternoon. Kate and I were dead asleep in the bed by 6 p.m. on Thursday night. So I guess that's why we didn't realize that game was on Thursday.
Oh, and we'll get to that in a minute where I texted Jason Thursday night. But anyway, so Black Friday, did any of you guys do any shopping? Did you buy anything? What did you get? Tell me I'm not the only one.
I bought way too much stuff.
I may have topped you there, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, you bought the big items. I had the big item from the weekend before where I bought my Sony Atmos soundbar the weekend before. But the reason I bought my soundbar is because they dropped the price of my TV by $500. So I went back up to Best Buy and I got $540 back on my TV. And then that $1,500 soundbar, they had a open box one for $1,043 that was basically untouched. I mean, the remote was still in the bag with batteries still in the bag. I mean, somebody opened the box and didn't even pull it out. And so I got, a good bit off the sale price. And then with the $500 back from my TV, so I bought the soundbar. And then that kind of just started off the week. I bought a pair of shoes for work. I bought last night, the last thing I bought, it's been a continuing the whole week. Last night I bought an 8 terabyte drive from Best Buy that they put on sale for $160 to replace my backup drive here at the house. It's 4 terabytes that's been slowly creeping on being full. So it was $160 for an 8 terabyte drive. And supposedly it's got a Western Digital Red drive in there, which if you just went out and bought the drive would be $300. So I was pretty happy with that purchase. I bought a bunch of other stuff for the house too. A new trash can. God, I can't even remember all the stuff that I've purchased. But I bought the battery / charging block from Anker that I had one before, and I ended up leaving it at the hospital a couple of months back, visiting my grandmother. And so that was my all-time favorite Anker charger. It's the one that it serves as a battery and it's got a plug on it, so you can use it for both. It's just the ultimate little travel charger. So I rebought one of those when they went on sale. And I'm sure I'll think of the other junk that I bought that I really didn't need during the week. But that was my big purchases.
What about you, Jason?
Yeah, for me, I've got a set of Klipsch R15PM powered monitors upstairs in the master bedroom. I love those speakers. I got them on an Amazon deal of the day when it was being offered by Woot for like $279. They never went on sale again, right? They were on sale for one day. I didn't want to buy two pair at the time because, in the event I didn't like them, I'd be kind of stuck with two pair. So anyhow, I set up a camel alert And sure enough, on Thanksgiving morning, they were back on sale for $279 from a different vendor, but I didn't care, right? You know, they'd gone back up to like $429 and had been there for over a month. So I got a new set of those coming in. Lowe's had a 40-volt rechargeable leaf blower. I don't have a big yard, and I really don't have a lot of trees in my yard, but it's all the neighbors whose leaves fall into my yard. So that was like normally $170, got it for $89.99. Probably the coolest thing we got was a little unexpected. The Mrs. asked for a new laptop, so we kind of shopped around and ended up getting her one of the new Dell 2-in-1s that, you know, flips over and is touchscreen, so you can kind of, you know, flip the keyboard behind and use it as a full Windows 10 tablet. It had some pretty sweet specs on it too. It's a i5 with the Coffee Lake processor, so, you know, it's one of the newest ones. 8 gigs of RAM, 256 solid state drive. It's got an IPS display that is just absolutely gorgeous, like just, you know, really deep blacks. And the unit is, dare I say, MacBook Pro quality, like in the sense that, like, it feels well made. It's got a really nice look to it. It kind of looks like a MacBook Air when it's closed. We've been pretty pleased with that one. And let's see. Oh, and
I saw those Dells on sale. That looked pretty sharp. I saw those and was like, if I was just looking for a Windows laptop, that would be really nice. It'd look really sharp. I was thinking, I could just use that for work. You could just buy it and it could just be your work computer. And I'm like, no, don't do it. Don't do it.
And then my Black Friday every year purchase is, I'm an avid shooter. There's all sorts of rebates on ammunition. So I bought probably, I think, 5,000 rounds of 9mm.
So for our listeners that don't know, you're a competitive shooter, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So I shoot both 3-gun and USPSA competitions.
What about you, Brad? Did you get anything?
I didn't buy any electronics. I think my wife went shopping and I just worked a little bit. So it was kind of a off day as far as that goes.
Well, don't worry. I made up for it. I bought your share as well. So Thanksgiving, my wife and I go out to dinner, and I've been sort of mulling around. Jim, I know we talked about this months ago and I kind of goofed on the Switch, but hearing you talk about it, it's like, this sounds really intriguing. Like, this sounds like it would be fun to do. So I was kind of on the fence as to whether or not I would do it. And, you know, for our listeners, I'm going to have some surgery coming up pretty soon where I'm going to be sort of out of commission for a little while. So I thought, I need something that's going to help my convalescence. I'm going to need something that's going to keep me from getting bored when I can't do anything else. So Zelda and Mario are going to get me through my convalescence, I believe. So I did get the Switch. And did you do the gray controllers, Jim, or did you do the red and blue?
I did the red and blue. And that's the reason it took me a while to get one, because the gray controllers were in stock a lot of places, but I could never find the red and blue in stock in Dallas. And so that's why I ended up buying it when I was in Mississippi that trip, because they had them at Best Buy in Mississippi, the red and blue controllers. And I mean, I'm not going to say it's obvious why I'd want the red and blue controllers.
Hotty toddy.
Besides, it just looks better to me. I think it makes it, you know, a little more standout device than just those boring gray controllers. But yeah.
That's the same reason I bought it, hotty toddy. So the GameStop, I never go into GameStop normally, but there happened to be one next to where we were eating dinner. So we went into GameStop, and boy howdy, did GameStop love to see me coming.
Wow, that's a serious impulse buy. Like, hey, I'm eating dinner next door, and oh, you've got a Switch in stock?
That was pretty much how it went. My wife plays video games too, so she's, and of course she has a soft spot in her heart for all things Nintendo as well. So I went in there, and they did have the red and blue in stock. She was kind of surprised. She thought I was going to get the gray Switch, and I was like, nah, I think I'm going to go for the red and blue. And I got Mario, I got Zelda. I didn't realize there was a Mario Kart game for the Switch, which I'm also going to pick up, but haven't yet. And I did get a few things for the Xbox as well. I got Battlefront 2, which just came out. Wife loves Battlefront, going back to like the 2005 Battlefront game, so that's one of her favorites. As things get more realistic, she likes it less, I think, but I'm trying to encourage her, because she's going to be taking care of me during my convalescence, so she's going to be playing Xbox, I'm going to be playing the Switch.
I'm much the same way with games. The more realistic they get, the less I enjoy them. I like the older school, like sports games, baseball and football games that aren't quite as realistic as the ones nowadays, or the older, even newer Nintendo-style games that are like Mario and Zelda-type games versus the, you know, I'm running around in a you know, 20 with a super laser rifle and everything is super realistic and, you know, Halo-type, I don't even know how to describe it, but just those newer games, that are super realistic. I don't get into those as much as just the cartoony type games. I think that's why, I know it was modern at one point, but even like World of Warcraft, it kind of stayed in that cartoony kind of feel and still kind of is for a long time. And I haven't played in a while, but still it just had that more of that feel than this more super realistic games that came along eventually after it.
And, you know, there's something to be said for that. I do kind of see where she's coming from. But then again, you know, I got Battlefront on my PC in addition to the Xbox. And I love how realistic, like, it puts you, as you're driving a speeder bike, and I'm watching it on, like, my 4K monitor, it's like you're actually on Endor, right? You know, you're doing this stuff. There is something to be said for that. It is, but I get where you're coming from, too. She played the original Battlefront 2 from 2005 for, like, until they killed the Xbox Live functionality when they shut down the original Xbox Live that was backwards compatible when they still had it on the 360. So I don't know if she's going to dig this. Probably not as much as the original. Much to your point, she's not a fan of the super realistic either. You know, they've brought that back on Steam recently. You can do Battlefront 2 now, the original one from 2005. They sort of re-enabled the network functionality. I need to just put her on my gaming PC and just let her play that. Maybe I'll do that. But got Battlefront 2. If she doesn't play it, I will. Got Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, I believe. And what was the other one I got? Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2. So,
oh, that one sounds fun. And I'll caveat, the only thing that I really that I like the super realistic is all the car games nowadays. So the more realistic the car game, the better. Like, you know, the super realistic cars, super realistic physics. The better those get, the more I enjoy them, because that's a real life thing. Like I would like to be able to race cars and I can't. I don't want to go out with a super laser rifle and shoot aliens or you know, it's in this world realistic versus out of this world realistic, if that makes sense.
Well, so speaking of realistic games, this isn't in the show notes, but I read a story earlier this week where a kid, I guess he's 25 now, just won his job to work for McLaren as their simulator driver because he's so good with the physics of that car in the simulation of the game that they had out there. There were like 30,000 people that applied for this job, and he was by far the fastest. And supposedly this is like a real legit job in a Formula One team. Like, you're not seen as, you know, just some kind of video game whiz kid. And then come to find out, he was actually a great kart driver growing up. And a lot of times coming up through the ranks when you're, you know, 11 to say 16, I think they said his career was over at 16, wasn't because he was out of talent. It was just because, you know, it's cost so much money to try and get into the Formula type series that he gave up. So now he's kind of gotten his dream job with McLaren F1 as their simulator driver.
That's very cool. That's very cool. And I could totally see where that could be the case. You know, you sit around and play those games like Forza or what was the other one on Sony?
Gran Turismo?
Yeah, Turismo, all those, yeah.
Yeah, so I have an acquaintance that I also used to competitively autocross, and one of the guys that I competed against at a couple of national events, he won the Gran Turismo Challenge or whatever and is actually now a factory driver for Nissan.
That's kind of impressive.
So you can like grow up and get a real job with those things.
It's just like the last Starfighter, but with cars. Yeah, so I also went with the same TV that Jim did, the 75-inch, and we were sort of discussing that. Oh, by the way, the texting Jason on Thanksgiving, I didn't realize that he had passed out. Let me back up there for a minute. Because I was like, hey man, I was thinking about buying it off Amazon, right? I wasn't going to go full GameStop, but they didn't have the red and blue in stock on Amazon. It was going to be like a week or so before those came in. They had the gray in stock. And I'm like, hey Jason, send me your affiliate link. And no answer. So I texted him, hey, send me your affiliate link. Then it was like, too late.
Yeah, I mean, man, we were out cold that night.
Serious tryptophan coma.
To those of y'all who are listening, that's the only reason we really have a podcast, is so we can share our Amazon affiliate link with each other when we're buying all this stupid crap that you hear us talk about. That's really the only reason we exist.
Hey, who hooked you up with that $541 refund, though?
Oh, I know.
Yeah, thank that you, price sir. Match was pretty sweet. So it took the TV about a week to get here for Amazon to deliver. It's the first time I've bought a TV through Amazon. The experience has been very good. The delivery window, they were completely within. They came in, set it up, no additional charge. If I have any problems with it, they'll come and get it. $50 fee to, you know, if I change my mind, what have you. It's pretty nice. I'm liking it. Also got the same sound bar that Jim got with the Dolby Atmos. I've heard people talk about the Dolby Atmos for a while. I kind of thought it was kind of bunk. I mean, how is it you're going to get surround sound by shooting the speakers, the sound up to the ceiling and back? I thought, eh, this is lame. It's not going to work very well. Apple TV 4K does not yet support Dolby Atmos, which is kind of disappointing, but the Xbox One S does. So I hooked up, I also got an Xbox One S. At first, I was like, how do you enable the Dolby Atmos? This is ridiculous. I'm going through the settings. I see nothing in there that indicates this is how you're supposed to turn it on. Had to Google for it, of course, and you have to download the Dolby app, and you have to go and then toggle some settings after the Dolby app's installed. It's a whole process to get this thing turned on, but once you do, wow. Like when you run the demo from the Xbox, it has a rainforest that it does. It has a, like you're on a racetrack. There was one where a baseball goes through a window and you hear a kid playing. And there's another one that's supposed to just be subtle and silent, but I haven't done that one yet. I did all the others though, and the effect is amazing. So taking the soundbar, I took a tape measure and measured between the distance between the speakers and my couch and from the subwoofer to my couch and from the distance from the speakers to the ceiling, and went in and tuned all of that in the application. And they do the little test tones while you're doing it.
I'm just laughing in the background here because I went through that same setup and I was like, yeah, that's about 8 feet, I think. You know, yeah, that's about 8 feet. And I'm just like, yeah, this is about this. And Brian's like got his tape measure out. He's probably got the digital tape measure on his phone.
I do. But I also double checked it with a physical one because, you know, technology.
Yeah, I'm just like, yeah, that's about 8 feet.
Measure twice, quit once.
Exactly. Measure twice, configure once. So, yeah, I did all of that, went through all of that, and it's impressive. Then there's a handful of titles on Netflix that actually support Atmos right now. Not many. I guess the new Will Smith movie that comes out that's like where orcs are real, the sort of Lord of the Rings thing, but in modern day LA that comes out in December, that one supports it. Very, very impressive. So the sound, I got no qualms with the sound. Sound is great. If you're watching things that are non-Atmos, it still sounds great, but it's not that immersive surround sound, but it's definitely not bunk. This thing works pretty well. Jim, have you fired up the Atmos yet?
So compared to what I had a crappy little Samsung soundbar that was about 2 inches square. I mean, just a little soundbar is what I had before I hooked up the Sony one yesterday morning. The only thing I sampled a couple of different things, and then I put in Deadpool and really cranked it up. And the scene at the beginning on the overpass.
Junkie XL.
Was completely amazing. And that's without Atmos. That was just with I just turned on the 3D surround on that soundbar. And I'm in an apartment, so I really can't crank it up, but I did crank it up. You know, it was 11 a.m. You know, nobody was going to be complaining that something was, you know, too loud for as long as I was playing it. That's the only thing I really tested out, like the 3D surround setting on, and it was really sharp. I actually took a old, like, Super XL size mouse pad and ended up putting that underneath the subwoofer because that sub was vibrating so much on my wood floors that I could hear it. So I took this old mouse pad, this super large mouse pad that's, you know, pretty thick, and put up underneath there, so that kind of killed the vibrations of the subwoofer that I was hearing. That was really awesome. And then the rest of the day, I just watched football. Like, basically, I watched football from about, you know, 11 or 12 till, 6 or 7. And then I finished Mindhunter. Like, I had an episode or two of Mindhunter left. And then I started the new season of Longmire, and I ended up watching that till about 2 a.m. before I was like, okay, you need to go to bed. You have to record the podcast in the morning. But yeah, I sat here all day just watching on the new TV with the soundbar, and I'm in couch veg heaven.
Yeah, I think my consumption's about to go way up. Like, I'm way behind on a lot of stuff, but now that I have a bona fide movie theater in my basement with the sound and whatnot, because you guys know, you followed my journey over the last year where I've been, like, working out all the time, and I'm exercising and cardio and strength training. Now I have a feeling that I'm just going to veg out between the Switch and this, and I'm just gonna go back to being a pile of hot garbage again.
You earned it, man. You earned a little bit of rest there. You make me tired. You worked out so much.
But yeah, it's going to be fun. But between the TV, the soundbar, all of that, the only downsides, we were discussing this a little bit before the podcast started, was the TV doesn't do Dolby Vision. So the HDR, there's three, I guess, HDR standards. There's HDR10, there's HLG, and there's Dolby Vision. And I guess HDR10 is great. Don't get me wrong. When I was watching HDR-enabled content, I am way happy with this thing. With my eyes, who's going to be able to tell the difference? However, you know, I am OCD about stuff. So...
Nah, really?
The fact that it doesn't support the Dolby Vision is probably the only downside that I have. And then I was investigating the difference between the OLEDs and the LEDs. And I like the OLED. They look great. But you know, Jason really pointed this out. If you read the reviews on Amazon and Best Buy, people either have really great experiences or really terrible experiences. Burn-in is a really big problem with these TVs, just like with the plasmas used to be. So if you video game on them and you have something with a static HUD that you're playing, which, you know, a lot of games, that can be an issue. The logo in the lower right-hand corner of the screen, if you watch a lot of TV, which I hate when channels do that, but they all do that now, you know, in the lower right-hand corner of the screen can cause burn-in. Just so many issues that are prevalent with this. If I was made of money and I could just snap my fingers and replace it if something went wrong, then yeah, that's not a big deal. But if I'm going to spend, you know, $2,500, $3,000, whatever on a TV, I want it to last a while and I don't want to have to worry and baby it like it's, you know, a colicky infant or something. Like, stay away from that.
Yeah, same here. Same here. And that was my thought process when I started talking to y'all. And then even when I went to the store, I got like the good, better, best speech from the guy at Best Buy. And there's like a high-end AV store built into the Best Buy that I go to here.
Magnolia.
So this guy really, yeah, Magnolia. He really knew what he was talking about. It's one of the things that I'm going to give a shout-out to Best Buy, because for a lot of years, they didn't have anybody in there that knew anything. And this guy was a really good salesman. You know, he gave me the good, better, best speech and explained why this one is this way and this one is this way. You know, and for me, it was more about, okay, I really want the 75-inch. What's the best TV I can afford in the 75-inch? At minimum, it had to be 4K HDR. You know, that was kind of the bottom line. Okay, I want a 4K HDR TV, and I want it to be 75 inches. From the good, better, best, I actually went with the good. The better was like a backlit versus edge lit, and then the best was, I don't even remember all the stuff that was in the best Sony TV. But, you know, I've been nothing but happy with this TV so far. So, you know, that was kind of my thinking when I bought it. And the soundbar, he showed it to me that night. And I'm like, man, that's awesome. I would love to have that, you know, just as much for music as for movies. It was $1,500 that night. I wasn't going to buy it. And then it went on sale. They had the open box. And I got, you know, $540 back on my TV. So I ended up getting this, what was $1,500 soundbar, you know, for about $500-$600 after, you know, money back and sales and everything. So, you know, I that's how I justify it to myself anyway. I just think, you know, you got to look at them. You know, the OLEDs looked great, but I don't know that they're worth it unless you basically just have more money than, you know, it matters. You know, you go ahead, buy what you can afford. All the TVs in that price range, I think people are going to be happy with at home. It's just, you know, anything nicer, I don't know that you'll be any happier with it, but if you can afford it, buy it. It's kind of that level. I mean, they're all nice now.
I think if I were only ever going to watch movies, not even television, just movies, that might be a great TV. All right, there's not really any chance of burn-in if you're not video gaming on it. If you're not watching things with logos in the lower right-hand corner of the screen, I think the OLED would be fine. But, you know, Jason really opened my eyes to that after reading it and seeing all of the... Because again, right, we tend to discount if you see bad reviews and it's like, Amazon shipped it late, which is becoming a more frequent occurrence. You know, little things like that, it's fine. But when people were like, I had this TV for 3 days, or I've had this TV for 2 months, and now there's a row of dead pixels. Now there's a line through the screen. Now there's, you know, the CNN logo is permanently burned into the lower right-hand corner of the screen. All I did was watch it for 30 minutes a day. You know, I called LG's tech support, and they said, don't watch something for more than 2 hours at a time. And he's like, I can't watch a football game for more than 2 hours. You know what I mean? Like, it was enough to make me sort of pucker a little bit, where it's like, I can't part with $2,500 knowing that I'm going to have to baby it. So that was the thing that just made me nervous.
You can watch an episode of Seinfeld, and then you got to go do the laundry, and then you can come back and watch another episode of Seinfeld.
Right. If there was like an AppleCare Plus option available to where you're like, you know, as soon as it went wrong, just somebody, you know, comes and replaces it. But that's a lot of money to be out for marginally better looking stuff.
All because you just watch TV, which is what the point of the device is in the first place, is to watch television.
Exactly, for its intended purpose. Square Trade had some warranties that they sell that I was reading the reviews. Like, I did so, I was up till past 2 last night, just reading. I don't think it's personally worth it at this point. Smart LED is fine. It's good. And the comparable Sonys, the prices, I don't know if you saw like the 75-inch OLED from Sony is like $15,000. But no, wait, that's a sale price. It's normally $18,000. I'm like, this can't be right. No, it was $15,000.
You're talking about the A1E?
Yes.
I was looking when I went in to buy the soundbar that they had this price list at the register of like, here's some like one item things we have left that are on sale this week. You know, we don't have many of them. And there was one listing on there for $60,000. And I was like, what is that? And the guy was like, it's a Z series 100 inch Sony TV. And he's like, it's totally not worth it. He's like, it's the picture is, he's like, if you're going to spend that kind of money, then get a 4K projector and make it as big as you want. But it was a $60,000 Sony TV. And that was like on sale, like marked down to that price, whatever it was originally, a 100 inch LED. I was like, geez.
So we're nearly a half an hour in and we haven't even talked about any Apple stuff yet. Well, long story short, folks, Black Friday was my credit card won't like it, but it was a fun time.
Hey, we can give credit to Apple for the Apple TV 4K because that's the reason I upgraded.
Same reason I upgraded.
See, there you go. All right, we just tied it all into Apple.
It's just funny how you can buy like a sub $200, you know, accessory, and it spawns you to go spend $3,000 on a new TV and sound system.
And that is the magic of this of technology, and you know, you got to accessorize.
I mean, just trying to compare it, it's like buying a, you know, a $60 case, and it forces you to go buy, you know, say a $1,000 phone.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
That's a really nice case. I need to buy a phone that goes in it.
And hey, everything that I did that was buy online, pick up in store was done either through my iPhone or iPad. So, you know, there's always an Apple touch to it somewhere.
So, Jason, you said you bought a lot of ammo. Did you buy any new guns? I did see something somewhere that said there were more background checks either on, I guess it was Friday, than it like set the record for background checks.
Wow.
That were done for gun purchases on this past Friday.
Yeah, so I did actually order myself a new gun. I forgot to mention that. And it did come in on Friday, but I haven't had a chance to go up there and pick it up. So I'm a big Longmire fan. Just finished the last season of Longmire. One of the things that he carries and carries well is his lever action rifle, right? Like he just looks like a good old-timey country and western. Yeah, exactly. So the rifle that he carries is a Winchester Model 94 chambered in 30-30. And those are great, but they're kind of in high demand right now for the pre-1964 models, because post-1964, they went to a different manufacturing process. And so anyhow, I digress, right? So I was looking at the Winchester 94s online, and I came across a Browning BLR. And this BLR was, BLR stands for Browning Lever Rifle. It's chambered in .308. It is beautiful, and it was called their White Gold Medallion Edition. And so it's got the highest grade of wood with, you know, the real high polish wood finish with the checkering on the fore end and the checkering on the stock, stainless steel barrel, but it's got also, you know, engravings on the side of the receiver. So it's just a beautiful looking gun. So I got that one as my quote unquote Longmire gun to hold me over until I can find the right Winchester 94 for me.
I'm just laughing because it's funny to hear somebody talk about those guns. It's like cars where in 65, they changed the taillights and I didn't like those. And then they added this to the fenders, and you got to get the 62 and a half model because that's when they put, you know, this in there and they did that in there. And it's the same type thing with guns. And the fact that they know, like in 64, they changed the process to make these things. And so now we all want a pre-64. That's just,
it's the same way with guitars too. I'm like that where,
yeah, you know, no, it makes sense.
Gibson or Fender may change their manufacturing processes, or like when Fender got bought out by CBS in the 70s, they changed the headstock and just different things like that.
If it was only like that with computers, I'd be like, if I could just find a classic IBM instead of this Lenovo crap, you know?
Well, to hear some people tell it, it's already like that with MacBook Pros. The last good MacBook Pro was 2015. Actually, I have to agree with that, what Marco Arment wrote on his website.
I agree with him, too. That was the peak, and then we just got to get back there. We could talk about that in another episode, because that's like an hour-long conversation all into itself.
We'll save that for the Festivus episode, where we have the annual airing of the grievances.
Does anybody have a shiny pole they could put up in their house?
Just wait till we do the feats of strength.
I'm not going up against you on feats of strength. Maybe after your surgery.
when I'm weakened, it'll be
when you're
great.
Weakened, yeah.
Funny side note, you know that sound bar is cumbersome, right? Even though it was only 60 pounds, it's shaped like a big L, right? It's completely bad. So the UPS guy, I'm doing the watch your UPS, because, you know, sometimes I have bad experiences with him. So I'm tracking him in my neighborhood when he gets there. And I see him as he's like, I see him go across the to the cul-de-sac across the street. So I go outside. I'm just leaned up against the hood of my car, just arms crossed, waiting on him. And he comes pulling up, and I meet him at the street, and he was completely surprised, like, wow. So he hands me that sound bar. He's like, have you got it? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I got it. And I'm carrying that thing. And my wife's like, oh, did you put it on your back? I'm like, no, I carried it across the threshold like it was my new bride. Like I had it almost hoisted above my head.
Yeah, that thing was really awkward. Luckily I had a dolly that I just put it on the dolly and carried it in from the parking garage. So
yeah, I wish I should go and invest in a good dolly. It's the subwoofer that gets you. That's the part that's so stinking heavy.
That thing is solid, man. It is.
And I didn't mention, I love the fact that subwoofers are Bluetooth now. Like I had a sound system down here, like from 2008 with the receiver and the wires. And I didn't like it because I was going to have to hide the wires. And it was a whole thing. So I'm really digging the soundbar. That's one of the reasons my wife signed off on, yeah, let's get one, was like, is it going to replace all of this? I'm like, yes. She's like, I'm in. Go spend it. Good deal. Get these speakers and the other stuff out of here. So, but being able to move the subwoofer around is, yeah, I love that without having to worry about wires. Good thing.
I grew up and my dad was a telecom guy, so we always had zip ties in the storage room, you know, and I've always been a fan of that. So if you look at my shelf that I have my TV and stuff on, everything is zip tied and Velcro tied down the center bar, and you don't see any wires hanging off of it. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Idol got onto me yesterday. I was posting some photos of the sound bar and how it fits this stand I've got almost exactly. And he was like, Jim, you really need to clean out that mess there. And it's got wires going every other direction because it's basically just I've added and removed and added and removed, and I haven't organized anything. And it's just a mess down there, and I really need to get down there. I've got some of those Velcro zip ties and regular zip ties. It's just... oh, it's such a headache to get down there and try to do all that I haven't done it yet. I do have a label maker too, Brian. Brian's showing us the label maker. I haven't went that far yet, but just to clean it up a little bit, I definitely need to do that because it's a mess.
I label the ends of my power cables where they all go into the surge protector. So when I want to take something out, I know which cable to pull.
Oh, God.
So while I was waiting for all of this to arrive, I ordered all of this last Sunday, and the soundbar, thanks Amazon, didn't get here till Friday, even though it was supposed to be here Wednesday. And the TV, that took till Saturday, but hey, you know, it's a big purchase. I get it. So while I was waiting, I went ahead and did the exact same thing that that Brad's talking about. I went and I had all the cables run. I had used all the Velcro ties to tie everything down as best I could. I label both ends of the cables for like the network cables, even though you don't have to, but I envision a scenario where I have to send my wife or someone down and, you know, they wouldn't know anything about anything when it comes to this stuff. So it's like, look on the cable. It'll say, this is the TV network cable. This will say TV on the back of the switch. This will say this. So not only do I do all the power cables, I did also all the network cables because I hardwired everything. Most of these things, except for the soundbar, have, you know, gigabit, but yeah, everything is completely, like I had a rat's nest too, because I just quit caring for a while. But this is completely OCD approved. Like I label it on both ends of the power cord. So if I take my Xbox and Apple TV out, I can just look at the cord and know which cord goes to what without having to worry about it. So I don't just label one end, I label both ends. And I zip tie everything.
One of my issues was the soundbar. I got it last Sunday, but then I immediately flew out to Mississippi, so I didn't open it. So I opened it up yesterday morning, and I had to get it set up really fast because then I had to just turn on game day and watch football all day long. So I haven't taken the time to organize anything yet. It was basically get this thing set up really fast so you can watch football all day long.
Jim, I've got to say the picture you sent of your rat's nest of cables reminded me exactly of the scene in A Christmas Story where he's trying to plug in the leg lamp and, you know, pops the power and everything.
Fragile, it must be Italian.
A few whiffs of ozone.
And then, Brian, you did sound a little panicked yesterday when I called you and said, how are you cabling everything? You're like, there's more than one way to cable this?
Yeah, I thought I had it all down, but I used Prime Now a lot. I did not want to leave my house on Black Friday at all. I had been out shopping, and I just didn't want to go anywhere. I did have to go to GameStop because as I decided to get the Xbox One S to do the 4K streaming, and they sold me a bricked one, which I had to take back on Saturday, which kind of sucked. But I did get that all straightened out. But I didn't want to go buy cables or anything, you know, like the Toslink or any of that stuff, which turns out I didn't need. So I used, I went to label everything Thursday night. with my label maker. And I've had this label maker for like, I don't know, 7 or 8 years. Never bought replacement tape at all, but I bought some when I first got it. So in the middle of my first label that I'm creating, I ran out of tape and I pop in the replacement tape and it won't close. And it turns out I bought the wrong replacement tape 7 years ago. So I'm really annoyed by that. So I'm like, I can't do my labeling. This sucks. So my wife's like, just wait till tomorrow. It'll be fine. That night about midnight, I went to Prime Now. They had my exact label in stock, ordered two of the labels and an HDMI cable, got me up to $30. And I had it delivered between 8 and 10 the next morning. So you go to bed at midnight. By the time you wake up, it should be. You could get it delivered between 7 and 8 for like $10 extra or something. I didn't. But it was there by 7:50. So I got the notification on my doorbell that somebody's at your door. And there was my cable and my stuff. Well, at the end of the day, I realized, you know what? I didn't get a Toslink cable. Maybe I need one of those. So I ordered that through Prime Now. And 2 hours later, it was at my door. Basically, if you want to live the life of a great hermit, Prime Now is, if you can find what you're looking for in stock, it's pretty good.
I've been super disappointed with Amazon. And this is, again, this is a whole nother episode. But just here lately, I'm not going to say it's half of the stuff I ordered, but it's probably a third where it's either delayed or doesn't show up at all. And I mean, I'm shipping to Amazon lockers, not even to my apartment. Now, I had I forgot earlier when we were talking about Black Friday, I actually ordered a printer. The printer I have, every time it kicks on, it triggers my battery backup. Like there's some sort of short in this printer. It works fine, but when it kicks on, it triggers the power battery backup. And so I'm like, all right, it was a $50 Brother printer that was on sale. I'm like, okay, I'll buy it. And supposedly it came in yesterday, and I'm guessing it says it was put inside the resident's mailbox. Well, it's a printer, so it didn't fit in my mailbox. So I'm just hoping they put it in the apartment office, which is closed today. So I probably won't have this printer until next Friday when I get home. Hopefully it's there.
Is the printer on your UPS? Battery side and non-battery side?
Either side, no matter how I plug it in, it does that trigger thing. In fact, I actually plugged the printer directly into my older MacBook Pro here to do some printing last week, and the MacBook gave me an error that says, you have a USB device that's pulling more power than it should. It's been disabled. So there's something wrong with this older printer I have. I don't know what's up with it, but I've had it for a number of years, so it's served its purpose, and I know I didn't pay a whole lot for it either. But I ordered some new HDMI cables just to make sure. And those were supposed to be here on Friday. And now it's like, you know, check back on Wednesday. And if you still haven't received them, give us a call. And there was the new trash can I ordered is supposed to be here today. It's like a nice one of those Simple Human underneath the sink on the door trash cans. And so I ordered some bags for that. And those were supposed to be in yesterday. And those have the same message, like check back Wednesday. I don't know. It just... The one thing Amazon's got to get right is shipping, and it seems like that's the one thing that I've been disappointed with them with lately. So
I will agree, a full third of the stuff that I order doesn't arrive within the window. Like when they say, and this is the thing that frustrates me, I know this is not a big deal in the grand scheme of things, and it's not like my life's going to end if I don't get this when I'm supposed to, but they set the terms, right? They make the promise of you order by this time, you get it on this day. I didn't have that expectation. They set the expectation. If I order that soundbar on Sunday and it says it will arrive by Wednesday, well, I don't know about you, but I think it should be there by Tuesday because that's two business days. But whatever, I'll give them the extra day. Fine, it's going to be 3 days. And then they'll do things like it's on its way, it's on its way. And I'm tracking the UPS number. And it's like it hasn't even been fulfilled yet. Up until Tuesday night at like 5 o'clock, it still says it's on its way. It'll be there Wednesday. And then all of a sudden, you know, sometime on Wednesday, oh, sorry, it's going to be there on Friday. Sometime between Friday and Monday, it should be there. And then when you complain to them about it, it's like, well, it was in a different distribution center. It's like, logistics is kind of your thing, right? This is what you're supposed to be good at. Where was it going to ship from? This, you know what I mean? I'm paying $99 a year, and I know a lot of things come with Prime, but my real reason for having Prime is the two-day shipping. That keeps me
exactly
from going out and buying local. I could have gone to Best Buy. I could have had it in my hand last Sunday. And I didn't. I went through Amazon. So if you're going to make that promise, you need to be able to fulfill that promise or remove the expectation entirely. And it's always their shippers usually that suck. In this case, it was UPS. Granted, Thanksgiving falls on a Thursday. And this time of week, this time of year is always the worst for shipping. It always is. I've gotten burned by this so many times, it's not even funny. Especially around Black Friday. But again, if you set the expectation, then fulfill it. If not, change it. But now I'm seeing some things that say 3-day shipping with Prime for some items. And I just, I don't get it. This is the differentiator. And what made it so great, like my wife ordered some stuff from like Kohl's or something, and it'll take like 6 days to get here. And the expectation is so set in people's mind from the 2-day shipping that when other retailers don't have it and have never offered it, they still look bad because they don't offer it. Like, what do you mean I got to wait like a week to get it? You know, why not? Why can't it be like Amazon? I hear that sometimes. And now even Amazon's not even like Amazon anymore. So that's really disappointing.
Yeah, they just put in a new locker that's walking distance to my house. The one I was using was about a mile from my house, a little over a mile, and not really a walkable mile. But they just put one that's like a 10-minute walk from my house, if that. And so I've started shipping in that one. It's inside the 7-Eleven, just a couple blocks from my house. And so that's where I've started shipping stuff when I can. And one of the issues with that is if it doesn't make it, I plan shipments there in the window of it's going to make it there on Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, or Sunday, so I can pick it up. Because if it arrives on Monday, then technically I'm not going to be able to get it until Thursday night, and you're supposed to have them out of there within 2 days. So if they delay it any amount of time, then sometimes I end up having to just cancel the order, and I just immediately reorder whatever it was. Because, hey, you screw this up, I'm not going to be able to get it out of your locker in time. Because I'm traveling, I do like the locker service. I just, you know, the logistics is something they definitely need to work on. Because, like, today on a Sunday, I've got a couple of things that are supposed to come in from Amazon. And, you know, it's some guy has got, you know, packages on the back seat of his Nova is going to pull up out front of the building and, you know, bring them in. So,
yeah, I do like the Sunday delivery here in the Atlanta metro area. That's nice. And that's always the postal service. And the postal service here, at least where I live, super reliable compared to either UPS or Amazon's own courier, which is just the worst. It always blows my mind that I live in this metro area with millions of people, yet all of the things that I ever order never ship from here, not ever. So like I did some HDMI cables myself last week, picked one day delivery, and they came from Chattanooga. And it's like, why are you having, this is something that I can get at Walgreens, for God's sakes. Why is this having to come all the way from Chattanooga? And they got it there. They met the window for that one day delivery. But I don't know, it seems crazy to me to have to go to all that trouble when, why doesn't it ever come from here? I never get it.
Bezos is worth $100 billion.
Yeah, I saw that.
He must be doing something right.
He crossed that threshold, I guess, earlier this week. My only complaint from Amazon recently, they've been getting my stuff to me on time, but we moved in October of last year, and we only moved like 6 miles north, but we did move into a different zip code. Well, the zip code that I was in had same day delivery on lots of stuff, right? Or you could get like the early morning next day delivery kind of thing. Well, where I am now, I looked at where their cutoff is. I'm 2 miles north of the cutoff for same day delivery. I think Amazon's missing the boat on logistics there, in that how much additional stuff could they be making out of Forsyth County, whereas, you know, they're just leaving that money on the table. Because now for me, because I can't get it same day or next day, there's a lot of stuff that I do end up going to, you know, Best Buy or Staples or Target or somewhere like that, that now match Amazon. And I'm like, well, crap, if I got to wait 2 days, then I'll at least go get it at the Amazon price today in a retail store. So the number of purchases that I do with Amazon is now lower, because they aren't servicing my area as well as they did at the last house.
The funny thing about that, and the zip code you're talking about, I've looked at where they do that same type of delivery, and the office building where I work is smack dab in between two of the places where they have to come. So they have to pass through where I am to get to where they do the deliveries, right? They there's no other way, and they don't offer it in that area. It's like, so you mean to tell me that you're having to go through this area to get to that area, but you won't offer it here, but you'll offer it there. So how are you getting there if you're going that way? Like, every zip code around me, every place around me is serviced by it. The one place that I'm in is not. It makes no sense.
I want to apologize about this Amazon rat hole that I think I got us in. Sorry.
Well, I think this episode's probably just going to have to be a Black Friday rants or, you know, something.
Conspicuous consumption.
Yeah, I mean, if we switch to Apple topics at this point, it's kind of...
I do really like that iPad ad that you linked to in the show notes. That's a great ad. I saw it last week.
So yeah, let's talk about that for a minute. That. So there's a new iPad ad out. I hope you guys all saw it in the show notes. And basically, it's a kid who's, it shows the day in the life of a typical kid with an iPad Pro. I'm assuming that's an iPad Pro. And he's reading comic books. He's doing his homework. He's typing a paper. He's just anything and everything that he wants to do. And finally, he ends up in his backyard. And his mom says, what are you doing with your computer? And the kid looks up and goes, what's a computer? And it's really kind of a striking thing. And if you have any kids or nieces or nephews, this is really sort of a skating to where the puck is going type of thing. I think we tend to think of computers in one way. Like, I'm sitting in front of an iMac recording this. You guys are sitting in front of MacBook Pros or an iMac recording this. In the future, I guess podcasting is really the only thing that I absolutely 100% really want to do on a Mac. But kids coming up, man, they're not looking at computing the same way. So Satya Nadella, CEO of Microsoft, was at a conference in India, and he saw some folks working on iPads, and he told them, you need to get a real computer, my friend, is actually the quote that he was attributed to saying, and we'll have the link in the show notes. But that is really telling. It's really sad that when you say something like that, you don't know where the puck is going. If you really think that you have to have a full computer, a traditional PC, it blows my mind. Like, how can you say that?
That was his Steve Ballmer moment, I swear. Back to that crazy Steve Ballmer rant when the iPhone first came out 10 years ago, and he's like, what? It doesn't even have a keyboard, you know, and he's just going all off that. This is Nutella's Ballmer moment that will be saved forever and replayed.
Ballmer at least had the funeral for the iPhone, I believe. They did that. That was kind of ironic the way that went. But yeah, it's kind of surprising. When I went to San Antonio a couple of weeks ago, I didn't take my MacBook or anything like that. I just took the iPad Pro, and it was more than sufficient, especially with cellular, to do whatever it was that I needed to do. So it makes me sad that you see people that are really smart saying things like that when that ad drives the point home perfectly. Where this is going, it's not going to be the overhead of a full computer. We are dinosaurs, folks. We are relics. This is going to change radically over the next few years.
Well, just to put a few dollars in his pocket, he should have said, you should have bought a computer that has Windows on it.
Or he could have said, do you have an Office 365 subscription for that iPad? Because I will say, I do like Office on the iPad and not the iPhone so much, but on the iPad, it's great. A few weeks ago, I was on a plane and I was, editing Word docs in one half of the screen and reading a website and culling information from that I was using to populate my Word document. So it works great on an iPad Pro. I'm not really sure what the real computer he's talking about is, but
I love Outlook on my iPad Pro. It's better than using an iPad on Windows. I mean, it really is.
Outlook on iOS and iPad, way, way better than on the Mac. I don't know why, but it is.
Our talk here reminded me of one other thing I ordered on Black Friday. So I don't, y'all are familiar with InCase. You know, they make cases, and they do every year they do a 50% off everything Black Friday sale. I ordered a sleeve for my iPad Pro that's got like a pencil holder in it, like a nice sleeve. And also they have a bumper type case for the iPhone X that I wanted to try out. So I wouldn't have paid $40 for it or $35, whatever it was, but I paid half off for it. So those will probably be here in a couple of weeks, because as with normal InCase Black Friday shopping, they sell so much stuff this weekend that it'll probably be a week or two before I even get a shipping notice on this stuff. So I ordered that stuff from InCase. And I think that 50% off sale is still going, although a lot of stuff is probably out of stock by now. But if you're in the market for a nice laptop bag, I love my InCase backpack that I fly with, because I can get everything in it, but it's still compact enough to put up underneath the seat and allow me to get my leg, at least one leg, stretched out under the seat with my InCase backpack. So shout out to them for that.
Let's see, what else did I want to get just before we call it a show? There was an article on CNBC this week. There was a review of the Pixel Buds that I want to draw attention to. And I believe the title of the article was Google's answer to Apple AirPods headphones is a failure on all accounts. And I'm not really surprised when they originally announced them and I saw everything from the case where it's covered in that same material that the Google Home is covered in, that sort of fabric that I just don't really care for, to the wire connecting the two earbuds, which again, go wireless or go home. If you're going to do something like that, really commit to it. And the too long didn't read version of this is they're cumbersome, cheaply made, and Google Translate doesn't work very well, and it's also arbitrarily limited to the Pixel phones, and it costs the same as the AirPods. So
hardware is hard, y'all.
It really is. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. You know, there really wasn't a lot of Apple news this week. To be honest, we can save the HomePod talk for the next episode, I guess. And apparently, iPhone 10 demand is starting to be met. It's only 1 to 2 week delays now, so higher production, not lower demand, is the reason for that. They finally figured out how to make the true depth cameras, and the LTE antennas they were having some trouble with are being produced by another supplier, so they're up. For those of you that listen regularly, I did not sell my second iPhone 10 at a premium as I expected. I dealt with a lot of flakes on Craigslist. None of them were in the Metro Atlanta area. I had a lot of interest, and then I would talk to them. Oh, well, I'm in Austin. Oh, well, I'm in Chicago. Oh, well, I'm in, well, guess what? I'm not shipping this phone. You know, I expect local pickup if you're going to do this. If I was going to do that, I would have just gone through eBay. So no thanks. So I took it back, got a full refund. Kind of sucked, but.
Boo.
Yeah. You know, I crap on Craigslist so much, and there you go. That's why it never pans out for me. I don't know why. It just never does. I just get creeps, flakes, and weirdos that are interested in buying things.
My brother got his iPhone 10 on Wednesday while I was home last week, and he was totally surprised by it. I don't think he had been paying attention to the shipping or whatever. So it come in on Wednesday, and he was super stoked. He was supposed to work on Wednesday, and he kind of just took the afternoon off just to stay home and back up his phone and restore the new one and get that all going. And he's loving it. He sent me a text message last night just saying, you know, I forgot how much I like the Plus, because he had a Plus before, being able to type on it and see the screen without having to make the text way too big. He started sending me Animojis where he sings. He's a really good singer, guitar player. I mean, that's not what he does for a living, but he just enjoys it. And so I get like, I'm getting country renditions done with the Rainbow Unicorn that are really good in my text messages. So just, you know, he's just a normal iPhone user. You know, he's not a super techie guy. You know, he likes nice tech, but he's, you know, not super techie guy. And he's just absolutely loved his iPhone 10 since he got it last week. So,
yeah, I have an anecdote about that as well. Yesterday, my wife and I went out with another couple that we've known for a long time, and they're both Android users. The husband is a big Android fan. The wife is sort of indifferent, but sort of uses whatever the husband gets her. And we're getting ready to leave. We had just had dinner, and you know, the subject came up about phones, and she's really rough on hers, and she's destroyed like 5 of them this year. And even though they're in an OtterBox and a screen protector, she has really bad luck with phones. And we were talking about, what phone do you have now? So I showed them the iPhone 10. If you have any doubts that Animoji it's just a fad, it's stupid. I sent my wife several Animoji that were just sort of like, I used a talking poo, and I went into a whole spiel about stool softener and fiber supplements. Like, you know, I did like a PSA about fiber supplements and stool softener with a poo emoji. I used the unicorn emoji for Animoji for, there's a guy I know whose eyes are really far apart. And I'm like, look, I'm this friend of ours. Both my eyes are on either side of my head. You know, I just riffed on like several of the different things and sent them to her as a goof. While I was showing this to the wife of our, you know, and of the couple that we went out with, and she absolutely was fascinated. She loved it. She laughed so hard I thought she was going to pee herself. Like it was a big hit. So I handed her my phone, even though, you know, she drops them a lot, and let her like, you know, do the facial tracking and do and even when she would throw her head back and laugh, seeing the little poop throw its head back and laugh and do the same thing, I have to admit, even I was kind of like, that's cute. It was a big hit. And her husband was like, great, I got to go spend, you know, $1,200 on talking poo now. But this
is the first week I had mine at work. I jokingly recorded one and it like a, not necessarily a status update, but a quick, hey, I got this done. This is done. We need to talk about this morning, and sent it to a couple of my colleagues. And I got a message back from the PM that says, okay, we need all your status updates in Animoji now.
They really are fun. I did I did one with a little pig emoji talking about McRibs. I had a lot of fun just making up and saying weird stuff and sending them with the Animoji. So they were a big hit. I think that's really an underrated selling point for this thing, because they seeing your face animate something like that, especially if you like move your eyes around, your mouth around, do different things, and seeing it imitated exactly, it's a good selling point, I think. If that was and they've never mentioned ever wanting an iPhone, but that was like, I want that. I want that feature was, you know, the specific thing that was said. So that was kind of cool.
Well, speaking of never wanting an iPhone, right? My mother, she still is using a Motorola Crazer. And anytime it dies, I have to go, you know, search through the bowels of eBay and, you know, find some shady dude that's got like 30 boxes of them from the early 2000s to locate her one. She kind of grabbed my iPhone 10 on Thanksgiving, and she's looking at it and she's like, this thing looks great, you know. And you know, she was just kind of gushing all over, and she held it up to her ear and she's like, I might want one of these. And I thought, man, there is no way, right? We've been trying to get you to own a smartphone for 15 years now, or you know, some kind of semblance of a smarter phone. So in the next year, she may be giving up her flip phone for a iPhone.
It really is a good selling point. The last thing I want to mention is, and this is just more of a speaking of PSA, is the FCC is trying to get rid of net neutrality. It looks really bad right now. It looks like the vote is going to pass December 14th. So there are protests planned nationwide on December 7th. If you're hearing this and you live near a major city, I'm not a big protest type. I think protests typically are a waste of time, but this is really bad, folks. This is, if you want to see your internet split apart into cable package pricing, this is what's going to happen. Not only that, the FCC has already told states that they can't impose their own net neutrality due to the interstate nature of the internet, that federal law will trump, no pun intended, will trump state laws. So if you care at all, please call your senator. I contacted my representatives and both of them are shills for the FCC. Both of them, you know, were steadfast in how they're going to repeal it, and they're going to make me vote against them. I, on principle, I don't care if, you know, what their competitors are for, so long as they're out of office the next time my representatives run, that's going to happen. If there's not many things that I care about a lot, this is one of those things that I care about greatly. You know, 51% of Americans don't even have a choice, you know, for more than one provider for their internet provider. It's all local monopolies. So we really, really need to even if it is a futile fight, try to get this stopped, because it's going to be bad for all of us. We're all going to lose. And it doesn't matter if you're Republican, Democrat, whatever. This is a bipartisan issue where everyone agrees. The current head of the FCC, being a shill that he is, has come out and said, we just disregarded all those comments. They were all forged and fake, so we don't care. We're going to do it anyway. Like the blatant, I don't know. This seems weird to me. This is so blatant in what it is that it's terrible. We have to do something about it. So if you have a chance, please contact your representatives. Consider joining a protest. Do whatever you got to do. We got to stop this.
Yeah, it's ruining Reddit.
It truly is ruining Reddit. Everything on the front page is all about this. Let's, for the sake of Reddit, let's get things back to normal. I can't even see funny advice animals for seeing all of the for seeing all of this. Well, folks, I guess that's gonna do it for this week. Anything you guys want to add before we call it?
I think that's what we've been doing for the last hour. So that's it for me.
Same here. All right. Well, later, fellas.
Later, fellas.
Later, fellas.
Later, fellas.
Please visit infiniteloopback.com for show notes and previous episodes. Follow us on Twitter. We're at infinloopback. That's at I-N-F-I-N loopback. I'm Brian B. That's at B-R-I-A-N-B. Jim is at Big Jim. That's at B-I-G-J-I-M. Jason is at J-S-N-Y-N-G. That's at J-S-N-Y-N-G. And Brad is at Meester Idle. That's at M-E-E-S-T-E-R-I-D-L-E. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.